Hello, la, hi, it's a Go Mommy Dearest.
Hi, I'm Kai, aka Adi.
And welcome to Thought Digest, where we
amplify conversations
one thought at a time. Welcome. Happy. Welcome, guys. Oh, it's been so long.
And it's still very much Happy New Year. We know we're in February, but
Happy New Year.
The actual New Year is in March, according to my opinion. This is just a trial. Fair. January and February, just let's see how this year is going, if I want to retreat or engage. You know what I'm saying?
We're still having the trickles and the remnants of 2024.
Happy New Year nonetheless. I'm excited.
Are you? 2025. Are you excited for the season? Are you excited for Thought Digest? Are you excited for your personal brand? Are you excited?
I'm excited for my personal brand. I don't think there's like a lot of clarity about where Thought Digest, like what there is to be excited about on Thought Digest. Again, that's just me being like transparent. So for my personal brand, I'm very, very excited because I've, you know, fleshed out a lot of plans and we're going into the life update. So I'm going to talk about like how those plans are actually coming to life for the first time. It's very nerve-wracking. But yeah, I'm excited for my personal brand, 2025 as a whole. Thought Digest, hopefully, you know, we get to put our heads together, you know, and then something amazing comes from it. But we did speak about like a live show being one of our goals for 2025. So that is exciting. Anything else? I don't know. We'll update you as we go. Unless you have something you're excited about for Thought Digest.
For Thought Digest, yes. I'm excited to see it grow.
Okay.
I'm excited to see what direction we choose to take it this year. I'm excited for like the concept that I had, if it comes to fruition.
Concept.
Where we go live every month
end
to recap.
Oh my goodness. And I was actually saying, not much. And then it's only because I forgot.
Like, so like we're literally planning on like, well, it's an idea of mine that we go live every month end to kind of recap the conversations we've had and to interact with your guys' comments live, you know? So yeah. So
I'm even get some of you guys to join in.
To join in on the live, and hopefully we do some exciting things on that live as well. So I'm excited for that. I'm excited definitely this year, definitely in 2025, we are going to have a live show. I feel it.
God willing.
Not even God willing, if we are willing. Like if we work towards it as a team and we grind for it, we could have a live show. Okay. May not have a lot of people, only a few of you, but definitely preference tickets are sold first to memberships.
Yeah, actually.
Members.
Get free tickets.
Yeah, they get free tickets. We like, you just enter.
Yeah.
Yeah, half price for your plus one, you know, for members, you know.
I hear that.
So, so very excited for that in terms of Thought Digest. In terms of my personal brand, I'm also very excited about it. There's a lot of things I want to tap into this year and I want to go into this year. And I'm working on it.
Yeah, I see you've already started with your fitness content.
Yeah, like my fitness, my wellness, my lifestyle. So basically, I noticed that a lot of people, what they love from me is me talking. So like I started like the diary of my 20s. So basically, it's a series where I post every Wednesdays.
Where?
On TikTok and Instagram and YouTube Shorts. And basically, it's me doing an active activity or something. So it could be me hiking, it could be me exercising, me cooking, giving your skincare routine, giving you whatever it is. But for the voiceover, I'm going to be unpacking a diary entry. So
you're going to be making your diary
entry? No, not my diary entries. Like in the sense
this
of
is
like
an interesting one.
Like in the sense of like diary entries, I mean like maybe something that has been revealed to me, something I'm realizing, something I'm learning, something I'm yet to learn, being in my 20s. You know, things that I'm like finding hard to grapple with and to create conversation in my comment sections.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that kickstarts engagement.
Yes. So, yeah, so that's what I'm doing.
Did you start your 75 hard?
No, I haven't. I'm just gymming right now. I'm just a gym bunny, you know. I haven't started with dieting yet, like with my diet and stuff. Mainly because I've actually been losing weight because I cut out sugar.
Oh.
And I lost weight just from doing that.
Yeah.
Like I dropped like 5 kgs just from cutting out sugar.
What? You dropped 5 kgs?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
In 2 months, just what? From leaving sugar alone.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you. So I don't think I need to go on a whole diet because it shows that what I'm eating isn't necessarily bad for me. Mm-hmm. It's just that I was going through a lot in 2024.
Yeah.
So I'd eat like a chocolate a day.
What?
Mm.
What?
Mm. One chocolate a day. On a bad day, three chocolates. We are
glad that you have overcome the addiction because a day.
A day. I promise you. A chocolate a day.
Okay.
It was really bad. But anyways, what do you have
for me? I'm only saying okay because I'm glad like you're past that stage.
Yes,
now.
Yes.
Chocolate a day is
madness. It was madness. It was madness.
Anything a day is madness.
Yeah. Even like chocolate. Sugar in my tea, I've reduced the number of sugar.
How many teaspoons did you used to put?
Three.
Oh, okay.
So now I put one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's not teaspoons or spoons?
Teaspoons.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. That's not bad. That's one teaspoon.
Yeah.
That's even less than me, and I don't even consume that much sugar. I don't. I consume a lot of pap. Yo, guys, I finally came to understand
the love. Zile
the and love. His love for pap, guys. Every time when I've been really excited to share this part of the life update. So I went home. I always go home during the festive. And it's always such a grounding experience because Joburg life is very fast. City life is very fast. And you get caught up in like what you're supposed to do, how much money you're supposed to make, the car you're supposed to buy, the apartment you're supposed to have. All of these things that are surface level, you know, superficial. Is the word that I'm looking for. And every time I go home, I come back to self and I remember what really matters, right? And I always come back rejuvenated because I'm ready to tackle whatever it is that I'm looking forward to during that year. But what I love about being home is ipap. But guys, fun fact, not so fun fact, I can't really make pap. Well, not that I can't. It's just that I'm too lazy to learn. It's too much.
Oh, you're too lazy.
It's too much
I
work.
I can, but I don't cook pap.
Hey.
And I will not cook pap.
What?
It's my... In my marriage agreement, my husband must know how to cook
pap. Yet you want a black man. You want a black man?
Yes, a black man who cooks pap.
You want a South African man?
I will cook everything else. My sump is amazing. My beef stews... All my stews never miss.
Okay.
I can make... Anything.
Not pap.
Not pap.
But there are some South African men who do not compromise on their pap.
Yes.
And they can't make it, so they expect you to make it.
A man who loves something but can't make it for himself is embarrassing. Oh, yeah. That's
love what they love, so many things they can't make. Wink, wink.
Embarrassing.
Nudge, nudge. But yeah, I ate a lot of pap at home. And you eat pap with everything, like pap and mas, pap and stew, pap and fly meat, pap and this. And I was just... I don't know if you can tell.
You were inside the pap.
I've been eating pap. So, yes, in addition to the food that I eat at home, the food there is, like, real food, guys. It's kap that they killed yesterday. Like, I love that life. But also, I was making fun of it when I was speaking to my team yesterday about how you really take for granted what you have in the city also. Like hot water, consistent hot water. I mean, I have consistent hot water. I know some people, you know, you guys switch off your geysers. Let that be a testimony at the end of 2025. That you keep your geyser on.
That you left it on.
But yeah, like consistent water, consistent electricity, Uber Eats, Uber. Like all of these luxuries that we usually take for granted are things that I come to appreciate when I come back. And I sort of appreciate the simplicity of life when I'm back home as well. Like there's literally also nothing to do back home. Mm-hmm. There's no entertainment centers. There's no cinema. There's nothing really. The only things to do is groove and chilling with your friends at a spot or whatever the case is. But I come to appreciate like family and conversation and catching up. And my family did sit me down I think the day I arrived and they were like, okay, let's talk about your communication. You suck. Like we can't get a hold of you. So that's something that I'm going to work on for my family, particularly the rest of you, unfortunately.
Tough.
Can't really promise that for you guys. But for my family, I fall in love with them more and more every festive. And it's because of the challenges that we overcome together. Mm. Every festive, we catch each other up on what happened over the year. And I realize how challenging life is for each and every one of us, but how much we do our best to come together at the end of the year, no matter what. So I love my family. I feel rejuvenated. I feel ready to tackle 2025, you know? I feel grounded as well.
That's really beautiful.
You didn't go to Venda.
You see, we have toxic family dynamics, but I did enjoy spending a lot of time with my mom and my siblings. Those were my family this festive season. Mm-hmm. And it actually made me realize that those are my only family. Mm-hmm. Like the only people that truly, 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 truly matter to me in terms of my family mm-hmm. is my mom, my little sister, and my little brother. Mm-hmm. Like I am enough when I have them. I'm okay when I have them. I'm content when I have those people in my life. So
what made you come to that realization? Like what gave you that harsh
reality? I think check. 2024 showed me how, like, number one, outside of like family, even though God is a part of like my family, God is the only being that truly like was there, loved me, was consistent with me and everything like that in terms of family. My friends showed up for me more than my family. My friends were more family to me than my family. Mm. My friends checked up on me mm-hmm. more than my family. Mm-hmm. My friends helped me out even when they had nothing mm-hmm. more than my family. Mm-hmm. My family will prioritize everything in their lives, mm-hmm. every other person mm-hmm. but me. Mm-hmm. So are they really my family? You know, so that, like, when I sat home and I spent December just really, because I think I spent my December digesting mm-hmm. in 2024, you know, mm-hmm. and I just realized that, you know what, sometimes the people you meet value you more than the people you are born to, mm-hmm. you know, and it didn't help that last week my father also told me to go to hell.
You lie.
On God.
You lie. That is a stark contrast from you guys sitting down and having lunch it is, the last
it,
time.
It is a stark contrast. So he literally sent me a message and told me to go to hell.
You lie.
He was like...
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Because basically what had happened was, you know this man, he has main character syndrome and it's so bad. And he also does not see his faults, you know. He always nitpicks other things. He doesn't see his faults. So basically what had happened was I asked him to give us money for my little sister for school. She's going back to school. I'm not her parent. That is not my responsibility. Mm-hmm. And my mom is not working. Therefore, I take on my mom's side of the responsibility, but he must come in and take on his side of the responsibility. Mm-hmm. So I basically said, hey, this is what's going on. This is what she needs money for, A, B, C, D, and E. If anybody comes here, I'm like, I even have receipts. If I had the energy, we're going to just put the conversation like in receipts like this. Yeah. And then he ignored me. And I texted him. I'm like, she's starting school in a week. He mm-hmm. ignored me. I'm texting. He's ignoring. I text my grandmother, his mother. She ignores me.
What?
I text my aunt. My aunt says that she will talk. So I don't even text her. I call her. She's like, she'll talk to him. She'll get back to us and stuff like that. She doesn't get back to us, right? Mm-hmm. And then I text him in the morning because now I'm frustrated. I'm like, bruh, if you don't help out now. And I don't know what type of threat that he thought that was. But basically what I was basically trying to tell him is I'm going to swim for maintenance. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually going to do that now because mm-hmm. there's no need for you to swim me and stuff when I'm asking you money for your child. Mm-hmm. I don't need that type of energy. Mm-hmm. So rather let the court deal with you, you know. So I was literally like, but if you don't, like, it's gonna hurt him so bad in the maintenance mm-hmm. case, you know. And then he wrote me a long paragraph on some, you threw your mother a birthday, you didn't throw me on my birthday,
please.
My birthday passed like it's nothing.
Oh,
do you know this man on my birthday didn't even wish me a happy birthday? My father has never thrown me a birthday party in his life, but he invited me to a surprise party through his wife.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
And I went, remember?
Yes,
but he's never bought me he's never done anything. He's never bought me a custom cake, never threw me a surprise party, nothing. And then the woman who has made sure consistently every year on my birthday, something happens. I had a sweet 16, a sweet 18. Mm. On my birthday this year, last year while she was working, I didn't want anything. She literally sent, like, flowers and those fancy cakes. What are
the bento cakes? They're called bento cakes.
No, the crossover, that brand, that red brand.
Okay, I have no idea.
There's some brand, Jay. She sent me that as like a surprise. That man didn't even wish me a happy birthday.
Yeah.
You know?
And then
when I surprised my mother, who has done so much for me, mm-hmm. he's on some, I didn't throw him a party. And then he's like, I bought my grandmother a phone on my mom's side. I didn't get my grandmother a phone
on his side.
And one, I used a campaign to get my grandmother a phone.
Yeah.
And even with that, it's because she didn't have one, you know? And it's like, it's so petty for a man who is 47, I don't know, years old, with a wife who's, what, 20-something years old, to be arguing with me that you did this, you did that, you did this. That was, I didn't even have the energy to respond to that message.
You didn't respond to it.
I didn't, like, I literally said, like, okay, thank you. Here's the account details for the money. I don't care about your message. I'm here for you to support your child. And he literally said to me, I can go to hell. And I was like, bar for bar. Like, I didn't, like, not even, like, filtered, not anything. Do I still have this man's number?
Is he aware that he is your father?
Bar for bar. Literally, a whole read more message.
Oh, my God.
Insulting me. And I didn't even insult him. It's absolutely
that
nothing. And I literally said, that's okay. Because he's like, he was basically saying that I don't belong to him and his family. That's what he said. So I'm like, that's okay. I stopped needing you a long time ago. The Lord, my God, has done enough for me in this life. You will be granted permission to my funeral if I die. You can show them this message. Because he's literally saying, I don't want anything to do with you. And I'm like, okay, if you want to bury me when I die, because he's not going to come to anything else in my life, you are allowed to come. I was like, I wish you all the best. And what you said about how I treated you and my mother was not working is far from the truth. And then he's like, you buried me before. Go to hell.
Yeah, guys, bar for bar.
Bar for bar. Go to hell. And I was like, that's cool. I literally said, okay. And then I was like, when you send the man, literally this man sent me a message saying that he's going to pay for my little sister's school fees, but I have to cover her transport and everything else. I'm like, you mad? You cannot pay school fees. I cover her transport, her rent, her electricity, her water, her food, her clothes, her toiletries. Who's covering all that?
What? That is crazy.
Guys, I'm telling you.
And I promise you, as a parent, there is very little that warrants such a response. By very little, I'm talking about the extreme. I'm talking about murder. Your child has become Jeffrey Dahmer or something. And not even Jeffrey Dahmer's dad.
Said go to hell.
Said that. Mm. Do you know what I'm saying? So there's very little that warrants such an extreme response, especially from a parent. To me, it indicates that you don't really know your role.
He doesn't.
You don't even know who you are, for goodness sake. You haven't even accepted that. And you know what, Lord? Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Because at my defense, you know what I'm saying? When somebody I love is offended, my immediate response is...
You're ready to, like, throw hands.
You know what I'm saying? So I understand also that we are meant to honor our parents regardless.
Yes.
I do have a mouthful to say.
Yes.
But, you know, let God...
No, let God. I literally was like, this man literally told me that he, on the long paragraph, besides going to hell, he's like, nothing in my life will prosper and flourish.
My goodness,
because he's
cursing
does not,
you.
Yes, because he does not wish that for me. And I was like, oh, he does not know the God
what
I serve.
What on earth warranted that response?
He does not know the Lord I serve. I was like, you know what? My God said, no weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Amen.
And he is the God that turned the nail to blood. Like, all I'm saying is, like, whatever evils and powers that try to come and destroy God's plan for my life will not prosper.
Amen.
And they will have to answer for their actions when their time comes, you know? And for someone who's a Seventh-day Adventist, who goes to church every Saturday without fail, who follows the Bible to a T, judges people with tattoos and piercings and stuff, the way... He wrote that message, showed me that that is a man who does not know God. And I was like, I didn't even fight. I didn't even have the urge to fight, to swear or anything. Even now, like, literally, I'm not insulting him or anything. Like, I'm just stating what he said, you know? And it's because God has given me so much peace from this man. So much. So much. Like... I don't have the... I'm saying now, I'm mad.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry because that is your father at the end of the day. And you actually did go out of your way to try and establish some kind of a relationship. And even on this platform, you encouraged other people to do it. And unfortunately, this is one of the circumstances where
it doesn't work out.
It doesn't work out. And you really did try your best. Throughout 2024, we heard you, we heard and saw you actually go out of your way to reach out to your father and like try to hear where he's coming from and all of these things. So I'm glad that God has given you peace about the situation, and he wouldn't have given you peace if he also wasn't satisfied with how much you've put into, how much work you've put into the relationship. So, I'm so sorry.
It's okay, guys. This is the last time I'm going to speak about this man in any of like my platforms ever again. If you guys want reference why my father is not the one who walked me down the aisle or anything, just come back to this video.
Come back to the first episode of Don't Digest 2025.
Yeah, just come back to this video. Yeah. For his family, in terms of his family, because the only tie that ties me to his family is him, and he's broken that tie because also they have not made an effort with me. I also don't recognize them as well, to the point where I literally like, I'm in so much peace. I'm going to Home Affairs and change my surname because I carried that man's surname, the man who told me to go to hell, the man who's cursed my future. So I don't want his surname on anything that shows my success. When I become Mpo Mpo CASA, I don't want his surname on that certificate. When anything happens in my life, I don't want any success. No.
I think that it's a matter you should keep praying on. But perhaps what you pray concerning should change.
I just pray that, like, he's also, he lets me go. You know, I pray for peace in his life. I pray for his well-being. I don't wish him bad in any way. I wish him the utter best. And I hope everything that he's struggling with, every problem that he may have, that God fixes it in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want what's good for him. I want him to live a long life, a blessed life, and a happy life. Yeah. It's just a sad reality that I won't be part of his life. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a heavy life update.
But I think it very pertinent because I think in true New Year fashion, purge.
Yeah.
Let go.
Move on. And then you...
What about me?
Anything hectic or in jail? Guns and Roses. I'm just kidding.
No, I'm in a great place. I feel a lot has changed internally, and because a lot has changed internally, my life will then be a reflection of what has changed inside of me. I'm so somber now. You know, I think my mind was all over the place last year. I was unable to find my footing. I was unable... The self-doubt episode changed a lot. You know what I'm saying? Like, that conversation changed a lot. And recently, I think because it's going up in Feb, I had to, you know, tackle that self-doubt head on. I had to face it head on. And it was such a nerve-wracking experience, like I mentioned right at the beginning of our episode, that when it's time to confront what you really believe about yourself, you're going to need to sit there and take it, you know? Because I make so many plans, and this year was the first time, the whole of January was the first time that I actually put my foot into bringing those plans to life. Into fruition. And I was reading a lot and watching a lot of informative stuff over the festive, and I realized I had this, I forgot what the name of the syndrome is, but essentially it's an artist who's a great artist but refuses for their work to be published because then there will be too many eyes on them, and because there are too many eyes, there's pressure there, there's scrutiny, there's all of that. And I think that for a long time, I didn't express myself artistically to the best of my ability because I didn't want that many eyes on me. And coming to that realization on the day that I had my first shoot was heavy. I prayed, I did Bible study. I had so much anxiety because I knew I was coming into something extraordinary, and I had to overcome my fear of success. It wasn't fear of failure. I've never been afraid of failing. I've always known that I was going to win. I knew that I was going to succeed from the day that I even knew what success meant. Mm. Do you know what I'm saying? It was the fear of said success that I had to overcome. That, hey, your life is going to change. And it has to, because you've, a lot of people rely on you. Mm. A lot relies on you, you know? So I'm good. I'm good. I think even a lot about my life is going to change. A lot about how I show up, where I show up is going to change. And it may be difficult to understand for the people around me that I'm not here. I'm here, but I'm really not here. I'll see you guys maybe in 2026, praise God, or maybe at the end of the year. But I'm in a season of consecration. I feel it in my being. I don't even want to be outside like that. I don't want to be outside at all. Like, it's a season of consecration, a season of growth, a season of investing in myself. I've realized, I've come to the realization that I am my biggest and best investment, because God has made me the effulgence of his glory, and that glory needs to be expressed, and it will not be expressed when I'm too busy cultivating land that is not mine.
Hey, Nyaguza. Nyaguza, I'm hearing.
What the heck? Nyaguza. But yes, that's where I'm at. I'm breathing for the very for the first time in a very long time. You know when you breathe so deep that oxygen goes, you feel it go to your fingertips and the tip of your toes. Like, I'm alive and I feel alive. I even look alive. You know? So, yeah. Even this is a podcast, so you won't be able to tell, but even just in regular life, I'm saying less, you know, I'm doing more. But yeah, okay. That's a lengthy life update, as it should be. We haven't seen you guys in a very long time.
Yeah, we had a whole December, so we had to unpack a lot. Yes. So one of the things Kai and I are introducing to the podcast is themed months, you know? Yeah!
And it was suggested by a Jesty. Unfortunately, we can't find the comment, but there was somebody who suggested that we do time-relevant topics on our podcast. So thank you to the Jesty who suggested that. It might have been more than one. So thank you guys for your suggestions. We do read them. I do read your comments. I do my best to respond on behalf of both of us, because Mpo does not respond to YouTube comments.
You know, I don't respond to any comments. Yeah. I'm working on that this year. It's just that, but it's going to be difficult because I'm actually...
You don't have to. I got it.
Yeah. Yeah, you
yeah,
got
I
it.
I got it.
Because
got
one
it.
Of my things that the Lord has asked me to leave this year is social media. Sure. Not posting on social media, but dwelling in social media.
Sure.
Because what I consume does not fill my spirit with his fruits.
Yeah.
But anyways, I'm not going to be there like that. No,
it's okay. I'll hold it down. Like, the comment section is my spec.
I'll
be in there.
It's your route. So so basically themed monthly episodes. Yes. And it also helps the topics to flow into each other, the conversations to flow into each other weekly. So when you come in, you don't feel like... Last week we're talking about love. This week we're talking about unemployment. So because February is the month of love, our topics this month is Mjolo. So anyone who comes here and says, oh my God, all you talk about is Mjolo, 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 when the first time you saw episodes was 2025, please.
It's February. Allow it.
Allow the Mjolo conversations. So our first topic.
And we really are going to exhaust these Mjolo topics.
Right, you know, but there's many. And we only picked so many.
And there's only really 3 weeks in February.
So we still have more Mjolo topics for 2026 and 2027. But anyway.
Maybe we'll revisit them sometime in the year. When there's, girlfriend day, boyfriend day.
Then we'll come back and bring them.
Yeah.
So our girl chat topic for this week is the evolution of romantic love. So from
courtship to dating apps.
To dating apps, yes.
Yeah.
So Kuluma.
As for Kuluma, talk.
Talk now.
What was interesting for me, I've always expressed that I lean more to the traditional side of things when it comes to love and relationships and romanticism and all of that. And I think I would have fit perfectly between the 18th and the 19th century because at the heart of courtship was an organized thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, your family has something to do with who you're going to marry. Economic status has something to do with who you're going to marry. So I think, and also gender roles were very prominent at that time as well. So men were seen as the providers, women were seen as the nurturers, the caretakers. And I think I would have fit so perfectly into that era, I promise you. You would have arranged marriage situation. I would have thrived.
You would have been like Daphne from like the Bridgerton. Like, she was so ready for her man. She was like,
I would have.
Diamond of the season, yes.
Oh
when,
my goodness. Yes, I when, know that would have been my place to be. Because I love, also one thing that I learned very early, and this is gonna irritate some people. It's not gonna sit well with some people.
Yeah.
But I learned very young that you don't marry the person you love. You love the person you marry.
Ah. No, but we've expressed this sentiment. Remember, I was like, love is number four on my list.
Yes, and so I think the arranged marriage situation would work well for me. Granted that my family, again, has something to do with it. And I trust my family's decision-making. I trust my father's intentions for me are good. My mother's intentions for me are good. And so they would also, their input on who I have as a partner would be meaningful, would be significant, and would be to my benefit. Mm-hmm. So I would learn to fall in love with you.
That's why I'm not afraid of Love is Blind.
Everybody I've ever loved, actually, I learned to fall in love with. Same. I was never at the beginning. I've never had that whirlwind romance where it's love at first sight and I kiss you on the first date. No, I'm a hard nut to crack, bro. Like, you gotta put 4 or 5 months in before I even want to kiss you, before I even want to go on vacation with you, like, ask my ex. But yeah, so I would have thrived in that setting, in that era. And then after the 20th century, that's when romance came about. Wasn't really at the center of marriage. Everything.
It was a lot of like parental influence.
Yeah.
And I feel like the courtship then, it facilitated godly courtship. It made it more God-centered in a sense, because a lot of like it was not flesh-based.
Yes, it wasn't
like it was in eros, like you know, passionate love. Yeah. You know, it was like a lot of like there were other things that needed to come in first. So of course, religion mattered, status mattered, and basically you knew kind of sometimes you kind of knew who you were going to marry from like young because like it was a thing of like, oh, your parents' friends have a son and they just knew. Mm-hmm. They just knew you could say, no, these two, it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And it was nice because men actually courted women because they gave gifts, they gave love letters, they literally actually actively tried to sweep her off her feet in a sense, you know. And I loved how like it focused more on friendship than it did physical attraction in a sense.
You know, as we're having this conversation, I'm playing advocate here, right? But as nice as it is to think that we'd fit in that era, we must also make considerations for the arranged marriages that weren't so welcome.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
The ones that weren't as beautiful.
Weren't as beautiful, where because of economic status, parents would give their young children, like their 12-year-old, 13-year-old, off to marriage to an old man because of his status. And they assume all... They know that by virtue of this marriage, that rich man would then save their family from financial ruin. Yes. So there is that part of that era that we must also recognize. Yes. It wasn't all... It wasn't all rosy at the time. And so, especially in Africa, like, it wasn't...
Oh, my God. It wasn't rosy in any... Even biblical times. Because I'm reading a lot of, like, the Bible lately. Mm. And even then, it was a thing of, like, you would marry your rapist. If a man saw you and raped you, they would marry you to him because you were no longer pure.
Yeah.
And women had to had to go into doing things that aren't necessarily beautiful in order to survive. Mm. So it wasn't a glamorous
era. It wasn't a glamorous era at all. At all. And I think... Let's make those considerations in this conversation as well. I think sometimes people, when you see
Bridgerton,
when we see Bridgerton and you hear us go, oh, I would do so well in that era, you think that we're not making considerations for the antithesis. We are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, because it wasn't, there was no marriage for love back in the day.
There
when,
really wasn't.
Like when people say that, oh, our mother's begazelled, they begazelled because they had no choice. Your grandmother's begazelled because they had no choice.
Yeah.
Because they had no independence. Yeah. Women, you couldn't even own a bank account as a woman.
Yeah.
So you were forced to be happy in that, to stay in that marriage for your financial security and the, for the sake of your kids.
Yeah.
Now we don't have to, we don't have to. We really don't have to, like, begazelle nonsense anymore.
I think the positive side of romance coming into play via novels and television and all of that is that it did encourage people to be, to be more, not intentional, but to look for the love in relationships. To actually see that there's a positive side to a union, because I think a lot of the times people didn't, they didn't look forward to marriage as a lifetime partnership with somebody you adore.
Mm-hmm.
But when romance came into play via films and television, music, I read that it also happened in magazines and books.
Yeah.
Writers began to write more romantic novels. And so that also kind of, it brought hope to a lot of people who were in those really dire situations. So I'm going to give the 20th and the 21st century kudos for that.
Yeah. Like even with, but mostly I think when I was also doing my research was that the Industrial Revolution also played a role in romantic relationships being taken, I guess, being more prevalent is because of the change in economy.
Mm-hmm.
So more people moved to middle class.
Yes.
So because now more people moved to middle class, not many, remember poor people never really like lived to the social ideals of like courtship and everything. They married for love most of the time, you know, unless like it was really bad and then they married you off to some widowed old man, you know, stuff like that. But now you have all these people moving and migrating into middle class.
Mm-hmm.
It influenced more romantic relationships. It brought about that culture.
I read the same thing about like cities, growing cities, the Industrial Revolution, which opened up the dating pool and gave people more agency over who they want to engage in a relationship
and want to date
with.
Even like the individualism, like we live in an era where people prioritize happiness for self. You know, so now because we are very very individualistic society, we prioritize our happiness over anything else. So it was no longer about how your parents felt, how anybody else felt. It was about how you felt. So
On the negative side of that is, I think social media, guys, like social media presents such a utopian side of love and marriage and partnership and union and, you know what I'm saying, and agency and all of these things, that the grit, the hard work of love is something that is such a harsh reality to come to when you are there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because your love is hard work and it's heart work. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
it's very difficult.
The realities of being in love with a whole other human being, coming to terms with who they are when the lights come off, who they are in their mind, their own traumas and all of these things that we'll talk about a little bit later, are things that aren't really publicized. So the digital era has sort of put forward so many superficial ideals when it comes to love that we lose the essence of it. And I spoke about this years ago, actually, on Tato's channel, before it was Seated With, when it was his own, Malume's mic, about how our generation and whoever has come into love within the digital age doesn't understand the work that it takes to keep a relationship going. A lot of the reasons why we break up with people aren't valid reasons at all. Not to me, and not in the long run, not in marriage, is you guys' lifestyle. Like, there's so, I don't want to invalidate people's reasons for leaving people, right? But I do want to say that a lot of the challenges that we throw in the towel for are things that can genuinely
be worked on. Yeah. But I think the reason, no, guys, for me personally, it's because, dating shouldn't be as long as it is. Like,
you
shouldn't be putting that type of hard work
Girlfriend, boyfriend situation.
We're talking about hard work and heart work for marriage, not hard work and hard work from Jolo.
Yes, I'm going to speak about that later as well.
Courtship and dating is two different things. Like, I want to be in a courtship, I don't want to be dating.
Same.
Because then it requires you to involve a sacrifice that you're only willing to do in marriage to be doing in a relationship. Mm. In a relationship that has no guarantee longevity.
Yeah.
I cannot choose to not take a job opportunity for a boyfriend. Mm. No, you know, but I can choose not to take a job or opportunity for a husband because at the end of the day, it's the us over the me, you know? So yeah, no, guys, dating shouldn't be as long as it is. For me, with the social media era, like what I think I've mentioned this before, it's the availability of options.
Yes.
The availability of options. And also,
it's the illusion of the availability of options.
That's true. And also, like, how easy it is to communicate with the person. So you're no longer putting intent in your communication. Before, it was a letter. To write a letter to somebody and wait a week to receive your response.
Even at school, like, guys, we went through this at school. I know that not everybody had a phone in grade two.
Where
you have a crush and you guys exchange letters and then you wait until the next day, like, eagerly go home and you're like, okay, I'm gonna come to school first thing in the morning and then I'm gonna see my person and then he's gonna give me the letter. Did he respond yes or no on the letter?
Yes, you know what I'm saying?
And Valentine's Day, he's gonna buy me a little rose for R5 or whatever the case may be. So, like, we did have a glimpse of that early on in our lives when, you know, technology wasn't such a big factor.
Yes, wasn't so prevalent. Yes.
And that, for me, I think that also made me the hopeless romantic that I am today, where it's like, I rave about the letters that my partner writes me. I rave about the flowers that I get. I rave about this and that because that's what matters. You see this text message, what?
Yeah.
This montage, video montage that people are busy making on CapCut. You're using a template to make me smash. Shut up.
And also, like, you don't really appreciate the person you're communicating with because of how easy it is to communicate with them. So, like, imagine waiting a week for someone's response. Like, build so much anticipation and actually makes you appreciate the fact that the person spent, like, their time to write you a letter and their little penny for that letter to arrive to you. Manje, you can text Utom, no Jerry, no, not Ben, no Batman, all at the same time. So it really doesn't make the person, the ability to communicate with the person you're interested in special, you know? So yeah, social media era, it makes it a bit difficult. Guys, you can't hit me up in the DMs. I'm so sorry.
You really can't.
If you want that quote, like, some guy texted me, like, if you're watching this, I'm so sorry. He texted me, he's like, hey, can I please take you out on a date? Guys, you can't ask me on the DMs. You can't ask me on the DMs.
But, like, also, how is he supposed to ask you? That's the thing.
What? No, my man is not on Instagram asking me out on a date. That's not where my husband
is. The thing is, like, also, let me play advocate again. A lot of the thriving relationships that I'm witnessing now are people who've met on social media. Sibu Mpanza and his wife met on Instagram.
Fair. But how long did they talk before he said, can I take you out on a date?
I don't know.
We have no prior history of communication. I don't know you from a grain of salt.
Also, they didn't know each other from a grain of salt. You know what? I'm going to encourage people. I'm not going to do it. But let me, I think, there are some downsides to it. But take a chance at your DM. Like, go look at your request. Look at the hidden folder. Go through the profile. Like, sometimes people use their profiles as their, I don't want to say portfolios, but sort of, I say their CV, like a glimpse into who they are and what they like and, you know, how they dress and their interests. So that kind of social media profile, I think, maybe engage with. If the person is asking you on a date and you looked at their social media profile and you can see that likes to bowl, he likes to hike.
Their social media profiles, you know, I see, are scary.
Yeah.
No, to be fair, they're very scary. Like, so it says that guy, you can't be an upcoming rapper and then... You can't. No, you cannot. You cannot.
Not you coming for upcoming rappers.
No, I have no hate. Do you? There are women who love rappers. Mm, I am not amongst them. You know? I have a type as well. Thank you. My type is corporate guys.
What?
I love a man with a nice
type. They ain't got no time. Corporate guys ain't got no time, bro.
Exactly.
You got schedule. Like, I have time for you on Saturday afternoon from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. Mm. And then Yeah, that's
it. That's it. That's it.
What?
No,
I need you to eat, breathe, sleep, me. What?
I honestly feel like a person who because I feel like I'm gonna go into corporate, and it's not like because this job that we're doing doesn't require a lot of our time.
Yeah.
But for the person you're interested in, you make time, and it makes the time you spend with them even more special. I don't want to have your time because you're unemployed. You know, I don't want to have your time because you're unemployed. If you're unemployed, I shouldn't have your time because you should be hustling.
It's true.
You know, so thank you very much. You see, now I'm single because I'm unemployed. No, I'm not unemployed. I'm employed. I'm employed. Yeah, I'm very much employed. Yeah, but that's besides the point.
Anyway. Okay, our time is well spent. I think we can go into the game just for 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
We're so already at you.
The game we are, ChatGPT created for me.
Lol. Now you know how to use ChatGPT.
Wow, didn't you see that whole portfolio I gave you?
That was ChatGPT.
Nice topics and everything, the think about everything. I said and I asked her the right questions. So now the love.
I asked her the right questions.
Yes.
ChatGPT definitely has to be a woman because,
She's too smart. She's too smart. Didn't you hear that the girls are the ones with the highest distinctions and bachelor's passes in
for
this?
For real?
Yeah, in this year's matric.
What?
Class?
Yes! I love it. Shout out to the girls.
Shout out to the girls. See, this is why we can't beg as well.
And chances are those same girls are the ones who did the boys' homework, and that's why they also passed.
Stand up. So the game is called the Love Emoji Game, and basically the explanation of the game and how it goes is... Wait, let me find it. Let me find the explanation.
I'm not really good at this game, but I'm just going to give it a shot.
So basically the explanation is I'm going to send Kai a string of emojis and our editor is going to put them up on the screen so that you guys can see them. And then basically those emojis represent a love story. And then Kaya has to basically relay the love story back to me. And she's going to do the same with me. And if we get it wrong, your penalty is you actually have to act out.
There's a penalty.
You have to act out the love story.
Act out the love story.
Yeah, I don't know how, but you're gonna have to. So yeah, that's the explanation of the game.
What?
So who's sending the string of emojis first?
Okay, send yours.
Let me send it to her. Where is she? Ooh, paste. There you go.
Oh, on the group even.
Yeah.
What happened here? Okay, so my partner and I went on a picnic and it was lovely. You know, we were so in love and we had some wine to drink, but the wine got us so drunk, we started making confessions, and the confessions that we were making made me so angry that he made, the confession that he made actually made me so angry that we broke up because I found out he cheated on me.
Purr. That is the love story. You ate it up, you're very close to it.
I knew, like, see, when I saw that angry emoji, like, my emojis and the heartbreak, so I'm like, simple. I know how this the story
picnic,
ends
the love
I know how the story wine. Ends
my emojis were so simple. I hope yours are as like easy to read.
Okay, I love this one. Eight. Hold on.
Yeah.
Here you go. Don't think about it too much.
So amusement park, Gold of City.
Babe, tell the story, man.
Okay, they were on a date, right? They went out, the guy like asked.
You went on a date.
It's me.
Yes.
I went on a date to Gold of City. And we watched a movie as well and everything like that. Everything was so lovely, was so fun. We had a time of our lives. And then I caught my partner kissing someone else behind the toilets.
What?
And then we broke up. Oh, no. Actually, I have a different story.
Okay.
We went on a date. First date, right? Yes. Gold of City Amusement Park. The date is amazing. Everything is vibes. We even watched a little bit of a movie, a nice movie and everything like that. And then we had our first kiss, but he was such a bad kisser.
That's exactly it. When you started saying quoting kissing somebody else, I'm like, where do you see another girl emoji?
Sorry. I saw the lips and I saw the heartbreak and I was like, oh, he's such a good kisser.
He's a bad kisser. I even wanted you to add like there was some popcorn in his teeth, you know?
Hi, bro.
There was a popcorn emoji there.
Stuck on his teeth and everything.
And then, you know those kisses who just drown you in saliva?
And you're just like, oh.
Mm. Oh, God.
Lord.
Okay, let's see. Yo, why do all of these end in heartbreak?
I'm sorry. I'm just in an imperfect love story.
Okay, this looks like a kiss. Yo. Okay. So, again, I was in love with my man, and we're making out, you know, like, it's getting schmazy, it's getting heated. Little did I know that he was flying some girl out, and when I touched his laptop, I saw the ticket receipt of the flight, and we broke up. It's not the story,
Deb. It's not the story, Deb, but because it's a...
Give me the point. It's too good.
Yes, it's a fair story. It's not the story. But that is a possible story. Like, you only, like, lose if it's too far-fetched.
Oh, okay.
Basically, the actual story is that, like, they were dating and everything like that. And the girl got a job opportunity to a different country, hence the laptop and the work. So she had to fly to a different country for work. So their relationship had to end.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's good. Mine is a little bit more juicy. Like,
oh my God.
You like flew a girl out. And I had to find out on your laptop because I saw the flight receipt, ticket, whatever.
You can see Rukaya lives a dramatic life.
Yes. Yo, Mina.
People who live movies.
Like, guys.
People who live movies.
Oh no, my life was a movie at some point.
Okay. So this one, yo, oh my God. Coffee Very shop simple. Dates. Oh my God. You're at a coffee shop. It's a nice stage. You're reading a book. You're sipping on your coffee. The music that's playing in the background is very romantic movie. You're hearing like romantic music. Listening to the violin sounds. It's a rainy day. And then here comes the man of your dreams walking inside the cafe.
I love it. Spot on. We're doing so well.
I didn't think I'd have this much. That we know each other to a certain extent.
I didn't think I would have so much fun, bro.
It's actually such a fun game. It's really good.
ChatGPT
eats up with these games. Okay, so I'm giving you the final thingy.
And this story is very, very main character syndrome. Let's see. Vomiting. So a girl and a boy meet at a bar.
Okay.
And they get to talking, you know what I'm saying? And they get to drinking a lot.
Uh-huh.
They're knocking them back.
Uh-huh.
One after the other. And before they know it, they've had too much to drink.
Mm.
But they've both had too much to drink.
Mm.
And they both start puking on each other. But it's so hilarious because they're both drunk out of their minds. And this is the beginning of their love story.
Oh, hell no. The actual story is that it's two friends.
Oh, hell no.
A boy and a girl.
Boys and girls can't be friends. But anyway.
Yeah, this is a story to show that truth. Okay. So it's a guy and a girl that are friends. Hence, I showed the guy and the girl and the handshake.
They're
friends. They went out to the club together, well, bar, whatever it is. They had a lot to drink. Hence, so I put like the vomiting emoji to indicate that they're intoxicated.
Okay.
And then they had a one-night stand. Like they slept
so
with each other.
So use this emoji for sex.
But there is no like
no
what
sex emoji.
Like
emoji
what can I put?
Booza laba who are behind the cameras. Booza. Sex emoji is the peach.
Oh my god. That's crazy. So
what
I don't know.
Stand?
I don't know how you would act this out. Honestly.
How would we act this out?
I honestly don't know. So Kaya, you lost this one. You just lost it.
Yeah. Okay, last one from me.
Yeah.
These are boring. Find something more entertaining. Give me a second. The rest are so boring. I want heartbreak. I don't want heartbreak. But I want heartbreak for this game. Okay, I found one. Hey, Suga.
Suga wana man. Suga wana man. Suga wana man. Suga wana man. Yo. Boom.
There's one with Paris. No! I didn't mean to send that.
Oh, no. Okay. Let me not look at
Don't look at it. I'm not. Oh, I should have just sent you and said the number. Yeah, let me just do that. Number nine.
Okay. Number nine. Oh, sip and paint.
Oh, sip and paint.
You sip and paint. Kune music. Kune nice. The scene is very... Hey, Mara, what does this represent? The last two emojis, I'm so lost. Sip and paint, great music, great vibes. Mm-hmm. And then here comes this tall, dark and handsome man.
What?
The black hearts, I don't know.
Yeah, okay, come back.
Or is your heart stone cold? Angas, I don't know. I really don't know the story. What's you know what,
I have a
story?
Confession to make, I also don't know. I just saw black heart, red broken heart, and I'm like, she gonna figure it out. She better figure it out.
Like red, black heart and red heart. Like there's literally red broken. I really don't know. I have no idea. I'm forfeiting like this round. You guys create your own story.
Yeah, and give guys, us the story. Give us the story for these emojis
in the,
that
yeah,
you see here in the comment section. Because I was really, I just saw a heartbreak emoji and I'm like, yeah, she must tell the story.
Oh my God.
It ends in heartbreak.
Ends in tears. But anyways, let's get into our long topic. And oh the gosh, topic for today, Kaya chose it, is dating after trauma. How to rebuild trust and love again.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
There's so much to be said on this topic. But I think it's very timely. Very timely because I do think that the beginning of the year always comes with fresh perspective and mm-hmm. it gives you an opportunity to purge. And it gives you an opportunity to reflect, you know? So I think part of moving back into the dating scene after you've been traumatized or after somebody you want to get into a relationship with has been traumatized is that self-reflective part of the whole dating process, you know? I think honesty with the self, because I don't think that you can enter a relationship with somebody without being completely transparent with self and them mm-hmm. as well. Like, I think preferably if we start talking, you need to tell me first date, second date, like either or. I think first date is for impressions. And then second date, now we see good thing, okay, Satandana or whatever the case may be. Second date, let me know, like, what are your triggers? Have you been traumatized? What is the reason for your last breakup? I want to know now the VAR.
The real truth.
After we've serenaded each other on the first date and we've met Siyahlekisana.
It's good.
We've shown each other the best parts of ourselves. Now let's come tell the truth and say, in my past relationship, I cheated.
Oh.
And this is how... And this is how it affected our relationship. This is how it affected me. It wasn't an intentional thing. I had lost sight of self. Whatever the case may be, that platform there, I think, is the best place to start a relationship. Because mm-hmm. I think, like, people are so... They're so iffy about talking about their exes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, please.
When you start dating somebody, it's like, don't mention your ex. Don't mention your ex. How else are you supposed to know how this person is or how they love or what their experience with love has been if not... about their ex, if the conversation is not about their ex, or like, it doesn't have to be about the ex part specifically. I don't want to know that she had what hair and what body, but the conversation about their previous relationships, I think that's important.
Yeah, I think that's also a very important question as well, like to find out, oh, what actually caused the relationship to come to an end? Was it you? Was it her? If it was her, what did she do? If it was you, what did you do? How did you deal with it? How did you handle it? Where's your relationship now? Mm-hmm. I remember one of my exes, his relationship with his ex ended because she lied. Mm-hmm. She would lie even when it was unnecessary. Mm-hmm. She'd be like, she's at home, whole time she's at Groove.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's like, that really, like, it resulted in him having a lot of trust issues.
Mm-hmm.
So I made sure that in our relationship, I was open and honest about where I was and what I was doing to reassure him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's to understand that it's okay for people to have trauma. It's mm-hmm. definitely okay. You also have traumas
mm-hmm.
that they have to be okay with. It's just a matter of being very transparent mm-hmm. about each other's traumas and trying to,
and
I guess...
triggers as well.
Yeah, traumas and triggers and trying to, like, reassure mm-hmm. each other. Yeah.
And provide a safe space to communicate those triggers. Because a lot of people are so standoffish about the negative parts of you. I think a lot of the times when I engage in a relationship, I held back a lot because I thought that let me speak about it. Goodness gracious. Okay. Mm-hmm. Man, this festive has also been a reflective, like you said, for yourself. It's been such a reflective season as well. But during the festive, I realized that all the people that I got into relationships with had an unhealthy image of me. I was the trophy. And when you view somebody as a trophy, you take away their ability to be human. And I knew that when I allowed somebody to court me, or when I engaged in a relationship with that person, I knew that I was an acquisition for them. I would be somebody that they're proud to have.
Yes.
And by virtue of that, it would be so detrimental to their view of me to show them my humanity. Mm. And the moment that I did show them the parts of me that are drastically imperfect is the moment that they stepped away and they're like, oh, she's not as perfect as I thought she was. And so the trophy then is put on the shelf.
Mm.
And the moment that I'm too human for them, that trophy that they were once so proud about to show in public and say, hey, I've got Kaya and everybody wants Kaya, great. That trophy that was once so, so glorious to show off is too imperfect. And so I'm going to put her on the shelf for when I need to show her off. But in the meantime, I'm going to compete in other challenges. That for me was a trauma, a kind of trauma. When somebody shows too much adoration for me, I take 10 steps back, because I'm like, the moment I show you that I'm actually not always jovial, I'm not always so confident, I'm not always so assertive, I don't always have my wits about me. Sometimes I crash out, bro. I'm a level D1 crash out. I'll say that now for anybody who wants to say, hey, Kaya, I want to
please
know that I'm a crash out.
I know that.
Do you get it? Mm. And the moment that I see that somebody is admiring me too much or complimenting me too, I'm like,
wait, let me step back.
Let me take a few steps back.
Because you're scared.
Yep.
Of ending up in that cycle again.
Yep, that trophy cycle where, you know, and it happens all the time. That the first few months of our relationship, I am paraded.
You are the prize.
I'm the prize. I'm on your social media.
Yes, you're everywhere. Like, you can't just not say.
Exactly. That you can't not say that I'm your partner. Mm. And then when you see the reality that
this is who I am.
This is who I am. And then you put me on the shelf, and then you go and find somebody else to play with.
Mm.
Other people to play with. Nyanzonda.
It's real deep. No, same. Fully same.
What has been a trauma for you?
For me, my trauma is, I don't believe what men say anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe what they say anymore. What you say is so irrelevant to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you will tell me, I remember there was this guy right now who was like, oh my God, he commented something like on my status. He's like, oh my God, you'd be such a great mother. And I was like, yes, I can't wait to have my own kids and everything like that. He's like, I'm tempted to say our. And then I just laughed it off. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, oh, that's funny that you're saying this because you've never asked me out on a date. You cannot say you want our kids when you have not even asked me out on a date.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, I don't know how to respond to this. I think if I want to be in a relationship with you, I must be ready to take the next step. I must be in that place because you are that type of woman, you know? And then I was like, okay, cool. Like, I just said, cool. Because I'm not even going to say, no, you don't have to. We don't have to. We don't. Because I know it's a form of bait that they use, you know, because they've heard this person knows my values. They know how I speak. They know how I carry myself. Mm. So the moment I say that, no, that's not necessarily what I want.
You just tell me what I want to hear.
Exactly. The moment I say that, he's going to hook me line and sinker. And then now, no. Act, move. If you're not going to be proactive about it, even with whatever presumptions you think I carry, and you're not going to choose to try and explore a relationship with me first before having those presumptions, and then now baiting me with marriage. We spoke about marriage baiting already. I am not going to believe you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even when a man says he loves me or he cares about me, I honestly, it gets me giddy, it gets me excited and everything. But when I sit alone and I think about it at night, I'm like, I don't believe this man.
Mm-hmm.
And because I don't believe what someone says, it's hard for me to feel love again because I don't believe you. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting.
Do you know what it takes for you to believe somebody?
Honestly, they would just have to show me. I'm no longer a wet girly. You need to show me with your actions, you know? And I feel like that's how I ended up in my previous relationship from the ex who caused me traumas, because the guy showed me with his actions in a sense. Sadly, that relationship ended. But it showed me that I'm not no to love. I'm just, words are not enough reassurance for me.
That's good. That's good that you've been able to recognize the trauma, its trigger, and its healing.
Yeah.
That's good. My goodness, you just summed up a whole episode in like one
did my one experience. Little story.
How dare you do
that? No, but then like from like when I was reading up on like trauma and everything like that, the biggest thing that was like the biggest din was healing first. In a sense of or actively trying to heal yourself. Actively trying to cause healing for yourself. Not someone else come and heal you, but you working on yourself and working on your journey of healing. Because if you don't heal, if you don't actively try and do that for yourself, and you're dependent on someone else to fix those wounds, if that person leaves, those wounds reopen. But if you did the work to actually work on yourself and work on this trauma yourself, you are not being fair. You are not being unfair to the other person and expecting them to completely help you deal with your traumas alone. But you are also kind of like, man, you're putting yourself in a better place and a place of healing to go into like your next relationship, you know. And a part of healing is being honest and open about your traumas, speaking about them with friends, family, and your significant other. Even if the trauma was caused by that person, if the trust was broken by that person, you sit and you sit down and you open up about that. You say, hey, you broke my trust. You hurt me in this way. And because of this, this is my defense mechanism. This is the wall my heart has put up. This is what I feel. And the only way I'll ever get to the point where I trust you again is if you reassure me with A, B, C, D, and E. Setting boundaries.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. That's, and I love how you are also telling people how to practically go about their healing. Not just, I'm fine, I'm just going to talk. Like, you're giving practical steps on how to get there. And communication is one that you said. Setting boundaries is one that you said. Communicating expectations as a result of being traumatized is what you said. Which are all things I definitely agree with. There are also things like journaling, things like praying if you're a spiritual person. Community is always good, like you also said. So these are practical ways to initiate and go about your healing. You know, that journey that, you know, I don't think that there is a destination when it comes to healing. I don't think, oh, I'm healed now. Send me another 6 foot
tall, dark, and handsome. No. And you need to be lenient on yourself.
Yeah, I agree. I think there when it comes to trauma, we've spoken about the scientific side of trauma that triggers the flight or fight response in your brain that forces you to go into survival mode. We've spoken about the scientific part of that, and that is no different for matters of the heart. That too triggers a survival response. And so on both ends of the spectrum, when you go into dating, you either retreat or you attach way too quickly. Those are both survival instincts for people who've been traumatized. Again, we've spoken about it. You are the attached too quickly and the retreat. And they're like, no.
You said it so quick. You know us so well.
Yeah, guys, you guys know us so well.
You know us well.
Retreat, attached. She sees.
You're just like, get away.
And then Paul's like, first week, you're my husband.
You are
getting married.
Like, it's done.
So that too is evidence of some significant traumas when you're on either side of the spectrum. Far end, far left, far right, attaching too quickly and detaching very far, building these high walls, which I've realized we are on opposite ends, but of opposite ends of the extreme. I think for me, dating after experiencing trauma, how to go about it is initially trusting myself. And I say that because a lot of the heartbreak that I've experienced was a result of betraying myself. The biggest betrayal was the betrayal of myself. Because I knew, oh my goodness, each time I knew.
You're not supposed to be here.
This is not where, trust me, everybody I've ever broken up with, it was a long time coming. I knew. And I betrayed myself to stay in that relationship. Either because I felt seen, I felt happy, I felt loved, I felt catered for, or whatever whatever void that person filled was my excuse to myself for the betrayal. If that makes sense. And I'm grateful to God that women have these instincts. Those instincts are instincts I betrayed too, for the sake of fulfilling whatever, for the sake of fulfillment, should I say. And so where the healing comes in is beginning to trust my instincts again, no longer invalidating what my instincts are telling me, no longer invalidating what my responses are telling me, what my brain is telling me to do, I do. You know, I'm in a space where I'm reversing all of that doubt that I instated in my own mind about my decisions. I'm the one who told myself that, oh, what you're feeling is nonsense. Like, you're lying. This guy is really great for you. Despite seeing all the red flags, because I saw them. So just backtracking means trusting my decision making in every area of my life. If I do have a bad feeling about somebody, I do retreat. And that has helped me heal, because now I trust myself a little bit more. I prove myself right every single time. Every time that I've retreated from somebody and I am loyal to self is the time that I'm right, and the time where I validate myself, and the time that I heal from the times that I betrayed myself. You know, am I making sense? Yeah.
Hi guys, yeah, but see, we're talking about Mjolo, but it's a lot of there's a lot of self growth in
there. There is,
like,
there
I think
is.
We underestimate the power of like a relationship and relationships in growing as people, and in growing to love ourselves as people, you know,
to love yourself, trust your decision making, because the most significant trust that you will build is the trust with yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's evident in... Have you ever seen people walk on a bridge? Like, you know those high bridges where if you fall here or if something happens, you die?
I don't walk those bridges.
There are people who are absolutely terrified to walk through those bridges. Not because there are genuinely secure bridges, but because they convince themselves that here, I'm going to die. Despite the circumstances, despite it being absolutely safe, you're having this inward conflict with yourself about...
Just like, no, I will be the one to fall.
Imminent perish, when the reality is something different. And I think in the dating world, we do that to ourselves as well, where we have this inner conflict... And the reality is telling you something completely different. But because you don't trust yourself and you don't trust your judgment when it comes to the outside world, you will stay in that place and you'll never make it to the other side of the bridge. Ever. Everybody has left you.
Kaya came back at cookies, guys, in 2025.
December, cook. I was thinking. I was using December to think.
You were cooking.
To digest
you are
my
like,
thoughts.
And your digest. That's why when I come here, it's just pouring. And it's only left to us to digest.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Thank you guys so much for this episode.
Yes, absolutely. Like, have we given enough flesh? I think so.
We've spoken about the trauma. We've spoken about what to do. We've spoken about healing, self-healing. Mm-hmm. I think we've truly...
Oh, one more thing. I do want our main audience to say this. To hear this. I wanted to keep it for the memberships.
Yeah.
But I think this is also really important. You mentioned it a little bit earlier on in the episode about observing the person that you are engaging with first, right? Before... Because I think there's this emphasis on building with somebody and like cultivating and teaching them how to love you. When it comes to healing your trauma, observe how somebody loves first before you engage. Decide if you want to participate. That's something that I learned from Ianla Van Zandt, if that's how you say her surname. Van Zandt. Yeah, Ianla. Where she said that when it comes to healing your trauma, don't engage immediately. Observe and see how that person loves, and then then decide if you want to participate. Once you've decided to participate in that love is when you build, is when you teach them how to love you. But you have to watch them first. And again, that has to do with trusting yourself. Trust yourself and your decision-making in watching that person. The red flag, women, they are there.
And we see them. And we know them.
Anyway, guys, that was my last thought piece for this episode.
I hope you guys liked this episode.
Yes.
Welcome to 2025.
Yes, welcome. Happy New Year.
Every Monday, 3 o'clock, same time, same place. Yeah. You know, remember to subscribe, like, comment, and because we're speaking about Njolo this month of love, please put red roses in the comments.
Yes, red everything.
Red hearts, red roses, red, 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 red high heel.
I know that high heel is red there. I don't know what other emoji is.
Look,
red.
I'm wearing heels today.
Yes, you are. I was so impressed. I was like, ooh, I did not expect that. What happened?
But anyways, bye, guys.
Bye, guys.